This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun on a Tuesday and Chris messed that up. He told me it was Tuesday right before the show. It's a Wednesday, a hump day, and I'm so happy to be here on a Wednesday. So it's going to kind of be one of those catch-all type shows because there's a bunch of different things I want to swoop in and out of. One, I'm going to talk about the progress that is being made. I've been pretty hard on a few people the past couple days, but we are making good progress, and we're going to discuss that tonight. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Democrats, sometimes communists, they pick the worst possible heroes that can't help themselves. We'll discuss that. I am going to discuss the world of make-believe. Looks like Melinda French Gates. That's hilarious. That's her name. Melinda French Gates is... well, she has something hilarious to say about her granddaughters living in a harder world than we do. Purges happening all over the government, all that, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to first begin here. It happened yesterday, and I really didn't talk about it last night, but I woke up this morning and I couldn't stop thinking about it. Joe Biden. We've talked endlessly. I actually predicted, I guess I was wrong about this, that we would never see him again. But Joe Biden emerged yesterday to give a political speech. And we're going to have a talk about it right now because things like this are important to understand where we are and why we are where we are. First, let's be crystal clear about this. Joe Biden did not wake up yesterday, day before, the week before, whenever they actually scheduled this thing. Joe Biden did not wake up and say, man, I feel good today. I want to get back involved in politics. I want to get back in the game. I want to go give a speech somewhere. That did not happen. You know, and I know, Joe Biden is in very bad shape. Physically, mentally. Not making fun of him for it, because time comes for all of us. That'll be me one day.
If a car doesn't splatter me on the highway first, that'll be me one day. Be you one day. It's how it goes. So I'm not mocking that, but Joe Biden does not have years left on this earth. Anybody with any experience in dealing with folks as they get older can see all the signs. It's in the walk. It's in the talk. He's fading fast, very fading fast. Joe Biden didn't wake up and want to get back in the game. Jill Biden woke up. They wanted to get back in the game. His witch wife loves fame, loves feeling important. Remember one time when he handed her a cabinet meeting? Sitting around a big table, his cabinet's there. He hands the meeting to Jill. She loved it. The picture they put out, they actually put out a picture on social media. Air Force One, the president's plane. President obviously has an office in there, has to handle important business in there. They put out Jill Biden sitting behind the president's desk going through binders of things. Jill Biden loved the fame, loved the power. And when you combine that fact with the fact that she very clearly does not care for her husband, his health at all, well, Jill Biden probably made some phone calls and arranged for old poor Papa Joe to go give a speech. Now, Joe Biden, he did not bring the United States of America to where it is today by himself. I'm not saying that. That would be a ridiculous thing to say. But what he most definitely did do is make it so much worse as fast as humanly possible. And there are two reasons for this. We're about to discuss both of them as we play just a couple little things, and then we'll move on to some news of the day items. There are two reasons Joe Biden, his four-year presidency, did so much damage. The first, well, we've talked about many of these before, but the first was the fact that Joe Biden is not strong enough to stand up to the demons who have taken over the Democrat Party. He's just not. Even, as I've pointed out, even Barack Obama, America-hating Barack Obama, who really, it's not a put-on, he really, really genuinely hates the place, hates the country, wants it destroyed. But even America-hating Barack Obama didn't do with immigration what Joe Biden did. And it's not because he didn't want to. It's because he understood it would be political suicide. It looks too bad. We can't just open up the country to rapists and murderers and then champion these people. It looks bad. You can't form a voting coalition of the current existing Americans if your party's platform is all the rapists and murderers from around the globe. Come on. And even Obama knew you couldn't do that. And Joe Biden of 10 years ago would have known that too. Even if he really wanted an open border, Joe Biden of 10 years ago would have grabbed the crazies inside of his cabinet and said, hey, we're not opening the border and importing people as fast as we can. That'll kill the party. But Joe Biden was too weak. There have been so many stories, historical stories we could point out of things like this. I honestly, you could really point to Japan in World War II, one of my favorite historical periods, one we talk about all the time. The Emperor Hirohito, he got all kinds of crap during the war, after the war. How could you allow this? You're the supreme commander. Aren't you in charge? But there are a lot of people who write down about how weak he was. Oh, yeah, he was supreme commander, a god made flesh. You know, that's kind of what they believed about the emperor. But he had all these militaristic people around him. He was weak. And the crazies around him took over the country, dragged the country into a huge war in China they couldn't win, and then prompted him to attack the United States of America, which guaranteed the destruction of Imperial Japan. And everyone was looking around, and they asked him many questions afterwards. Why didn't you stop all this? You're the emperor. You can decide whatever you want. You can wake up one morning and decide that you should be allowed to poop in the street. And you can do it. You're the emperor. But you didn't ever stop it. He was too weak. He wasn't strong enough. Joe Biden was too weak to hold back the savages who've taken over the Democrat Party. real, genuine America-hating demons. They were all throughout his cabinet. The Susan Rices, the Lisa Monacos, Victoria Nuland. We could go down the list. They were all over his cabinet. He filled them up. He filled up the highest positions of power in this country with these people. And then they did what communists do. They destroyed everything they could get their hands on as fast as they could possibly destroy it. And Joe Biden was never strong enough to stop them. But that's only half the reason. The other half of why Joe Biden accelerated the destruction of my country, of your country, the reason he destroyed it so quickly was Joe Biden is just flat out a jerk. You know, it's one of those things. People who get any level of fame, whether it be a politician or a musician or an actor or whatever it may be, a radio host, they like to imagine, because they have all this power and influence, they like to imagine that their worst parts of themselves can be kept quiet. But that's not true nowadays. Nowadays, everyone has a social media account. Everyone has a former employee. If you're horrible, horrible to people, the word's going to get out. Joe Biden's been horrible to everybody forever. It's not a dementia thing. It's who Joe Biden is. He has been historically horrible to his staffers, to members of the media, to his colleagues. Joe Biden is a jerk. And the jerkiness combined with the weakness and inability to control the savages in his administration, what it did was it produced a toxic stew that turned out to be the most destructive 4 years in the history of the United States presidency. I don't want to say the most destructive 4 years in the history of America, because we had little things like the Civil War where we were murdering each other as fast as possible. But as far as the presidency goes, the destruction wrought by a U.S. president, no president, even Obama, destroyed as much as fast in 4 years as Joe Biden did. And he emerged courtesy of his witch wife yesterday and gave a speech and reminded us of exactly how and why that happened. We'll talk about that next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, not a Tuesday like Chris said it was at the beginning of the show. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, whatever you would like. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email all that to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Joe Biden emerged yesterday, and let's just dwell for a moment on the fact that this human being was the United States president for 4 years. And remember how hard Donald Trump famously worked during his first 4 years? And he still does, by the way. He's famous for this. Even his worst critics, unless they're just outright liars, they acknowledge the fact the dude is always working. He is always doing something. It's a meeting with this foreign leader. He's on the phone with this guy. He has a cabinet meeting. He is famously a workaholic. There were days where he would work, at his age, 20 hours a day. I can't work 20 hours a day. And you know, I'm not one of these pom-pom wavers. Trump walks on water. It's seriously impressive how hard that human being works, how many hours he works a day. But that's also what the president kind of has to do. Consider for a moment everything. This is just off the top of my head. I haven't written anything down. What's on Donald Trump's plate? Okay, well, let's see. He has to deal with and clean out all the communist subversion inside the Pentagon, inside the FBI, CIA, NSA.
He has to deal with endless amounts of opposition from judges. At the same time, he has to secure the border. At the same time, he has to figure out how to locate and deport all the illegals who are in the country. At the same time, he has to deal with the United States economy, with prices, inflation. He's trying to figure out tariffs, who gets this tariff, who gets that tariff. At the same time, he's trying to negotiate with NATO, figure out what's going on there. At the same time, are you getting the idea? The job of the president of the United States is overwhelming and more stressful than you or I could imagine. And I'm not discounting the stress of your job or your life or whatever you're doing. Look, stay-at-home mom is stressful. I get it. The kids crapped on the floor and dinner got ruined. I know. It's stressful. Imagine the weight of the world when you're the president of the United States of America responsible. It's a lot. Now, just dwell for a moment on the fact that for 4 years, this guy held the job.
Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of their standing, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of who they are. People can't sign on to their accounts. What do you think it does to that woman's living alone? At 74 years, checking, just not able to even find out whether she can't even find out what that disability claim is she has. Think of what the psychic calm gives so many people who just don't know where to go, don't know how to traverse what needs to be done, or alone.
We're 100 days, a little more than 100 days into Donald Trump's presidency. Just what you've seen. Forget about what you haven't seen. How many meetings have you seen him take with, he had to convene his cabinet. You do this, you do that. How many questions from reporters have you seen him field? Okay, you stop. How many foreign dignitaries have had to come in? He's negotiating. He's talking about this. That's what you have to do as president. We let that guy be president for 4 years. The American media knew he was not physically or mentally ready to do the job, and they were so invested in destroying Donald Trump, in stopping Donald Trump, they handed the United States of America to that guy for 4 years. And we're doing this tonight because it is important to look back. I want to clarify. It is important. Have you ever looked at an older celebrity, an older rock star or movie star, and said to yourself, you saw a picture of him and thought, "Ooh, man, he's lived a hard life. She's lived a hard life." Have you ever seen one of those? I hate to even call the guy out because I don't have anything against him. In fact, I like him as an actor, but when's the last time you saw a picture of Mickey Rourke? Last time I saw a picture of him, it was a couple days ago. It was online. The first thing that popped into my head, I saw him and I thought, oh, Mickey Rourke did some hard living in his youth. Some hard living. And you ask yourself, why? How did they come to that point? You want to know what they did to themselves. It's important to look at yourself as a country if you're in a state of decay and ask, how? How did we get here? Why did we get here? I mean, this guy was president.
And I'd never seen hardly any black people in Scranton at the time when I was only going in fourth grade. And I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by.
Oh, poor Joe. I saw the bus full of coloreds anyway. But this is something that Joe Biden brought a level of shamelessness to politics that even politicians who in general are shameless human beings would wince and cringe at. This is the Joe Biden who looked at a room full of black people and told them all, just didn't look completely shameless, a total sociopath. He told them Republicans would put them back in chains. Remember that? And I think it was Mitt Romney. Wasn't that Mitt Romney? It was Mitt Romney, the biggest milquetoast weenie dork in the world. And Joe Biden, without missing a beat, looked at a room full of black people and told them, "We're going to put you all back in chains."
Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Just a crazy nut. But that was as nice as I can be. Let's talk about the jerk part of Biden and how he changed things in this country. Before we do that, let me talk to you about the physical pain you deal with every day. Your back that bothers you every day. How many times do you wince when you bend over, get out of bed? That elbow that you rub all the time. Your feet, your hands. What don't you do that you used to do? Because it hurts. I talked about going for a walk yesterday or a ruck. Is that something you can't do anymore? Because your foot hurts, your knee? Why don't you give Relief Factor a try? All I've ever asked is that you give it a try. $19.95 gets a three-week supply of it, a three-week quick start. If you take it every day for 3 weeks and your pain is the same, just don't order anymore. Isn't it worth a try to be pain-free? Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I don't know what he's talking about, Chris. It's just good music. You never know what anybody's talking about in the music. You could never understand anything they're saying at all. You just nod your head and kind of mouth the words along and act like it has meaning. Everybody knows that's what you do with music, Chris. That's what I've always done. back to Joe. We'll wrap this up because I want to move on, talk about some good things and do some emails and stuff. We talked about his weakness, his stupidity, but his meanness. I want to make sure I clarify this for the younger people who are listening. You're not dumb. You just haven't lived as long, so you haven't seen as many presidents speak, okay? I am 43 years old, and there has been an ironclad rule in politics for my entire 43 years. The American president does not badmouth his own people, including the people who voted against him, including the people who hate him. He does not ever, I've never seen it in my life. And if you're young, you kind of think that's just how it's done now because that's what Democrats have mainstreamed in this country. I never saw it in my life. When Barack Obama got up and kind of half mocked the Tea Party, it wasn't even that bad. Chris, you know what? Find it if you can. Barack Obama talked about tea bags. It was the Barack Obama got elected, started blowing through all this money, and he gets up on stage and he said something that honestly, it was fairly benign when you look at where we are now and looking back. It's like, got all these people waving tea bags around there. That's roughly what he, oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead, play it.
So, you know, when you see, you know, those of you who are watching certain news channels that, you know, on which I'm not very popular, and you see folks waving tea bags around, let me just remind them that I am happy to have a serious conversation.
Now, how benign does that sound now? That's really nothing, isn't it? That's nothing. At the time when he said that relatively benign thing was a huge scandal. And it was a big deal. Whoa! What's he doing talking down to a big portion of Americans? That was considered talking down to a big portion of Americans. This is not ancient history. That relatively benign statement, that was not something presidents did. Democrats never did it. Republicans never did it. The American president doesn't speak like that to the American people. Fast forward to Joe Biden. Yesterday, he said this.
It's never been this divided. Granted, it's roughly 30%, but it's a 30% that has no heart.
What? What? It's not even a few people. He flat out put a number on it. 30% of you don't even have a heart. This may seem small. It may seem like a speech. It is a huge deal, a huge deal. It's why no other president has ever spoken this way. It is a huge deal when it comes to dividing the country. Leadership does matter. I want you to think of it in this way. I want you to think of it as if a teacher is standing in front of a kindergarten class, okay? Now, the kids matter, obviously. But leadership is critically important. A kindergarten teacher should never, ever, 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 ever speak out against a certain group of students ever and call them the enemy. Say they have no heart. You would never, if it happened, that teacher would probably be fired in your school. Well, yeah, 30% of you are too dumb to even be here. That would be such a scandal, the teacher would be fired immediately. Because when you have a leadership position and you speak that way and you create those kind of divisions, that's very difficult, if not impossible, to heal. It's almost impossible to heal that when leaders speak that way. But Joe Biden, it wasn't some kind of a one-off thing. Joe Biden, a natural jerk to everybody, he spoke like that for 4 years. The little communists around him who hate you, They wrote his speeches, and Joe Biden read them, presumably, beforehand, and said, yeah, that's how I want to speak. And I'm trying to explain this to younger people. Older people will know this. United States presidents don't speak this way. They do not speak this way. It has never happened in the history of this country. American presidents don't speak like this.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
And by the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
If you would like to know why it seems like we are irreparably divided, there are many reasons for it. There are many enemies for it. It's happened over a long, long, long period of time as we slowly but steadily have separated as a country. But I would venture to say you can't find me a single person who is more responsible for the divide of this country than Joe Biden. You may find people who are equal to him, but I don't know if you can, and you can't find somebody who's more responsible for the fact that this is just how, it's not just how they think now, this is how they talk. You see it now in casual, polite conversation in Democrat circles. Democrats will just talk about murdering you, how you deserve to die, how you deserve this. All those Teslas, you know, the Tesla vandalization that we've seen so much of now, there's something that's really hit me. That Governor Shapiro, the firebombing of his mansion, you saw that guy by now. You've seen a picture of him. He looks like a nut. He just looks like a nut. The people who were keying Teslas, somebody rubbed their butt on one. The people who were keying Teslas, sure, some of them were younger and kind of looked like nuts. Almost every one of those people I saw was an older, we're talking 50 plus years old, decently dressed, normal looking human being, just a Democrat. And for a modern Democrat, violence, treating Republicans as if they're Nazis, keying somebody's car because you don't like the guy who manufactured it, it's just, well, it's how they operate. It's just become how they do business. And this is when you need leaders. And this is when you need leaders like Joe Biden, like the president, to step in and say, hey, no more of that. I'm calling up right now, stop. They're not your enemy. Stop with that. But they didn't. Instead, everything is turning it up. Volume up, volume up, volume up. I still am floored. And you remember I used to go off about this, that an American president spoke this way to the American people.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
That speech, I know you remember it. That's the most evil speech in the history of the United States of America. That is the most evil speech ever given by a politician in the history of this country. And Joe Biden has to own it. Enough. Let's talk about a couple good things. One good thing is Rough Greens, that's for sure. Your dog being healthy, not sick all the time, your dog living longer is a good thing. What would you do if you could sign up right now for just 1 year, an extra year with your dog? They die too soon, don't they? One more year. What if right now you decided to start giving your dog nutrition? Your dog does not get nutrition from his food. There is no nutrition in dog food. It's empty calories. It's like you eating a fast food double cheeseburger. Delicious, of course. Nutritious, there's nothing in it. Nothing. Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement created by Green Beret naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. He loves dogs, and he wanted some way to get his dogs to live longer. The vitamins, minerals, and probiotics and all kinds of things. You sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food, your dog gets healthier and lives longer. free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So you can stop sending emails now about the history thing. I put it out there last night because there was a debate on the show about what the next history thing could be. Do I do the kamikazes of WW2 or do I do something around Alexander the Great? The emails flooded in for both sides, but there's no question that Alexander the Great actually was the winner in that whole thing. So whenever the next one is, and I'm not telling you when it's going to be because I don't know yet, whenever the next one is, it'll be Alexander. But we did get so many kamikaze requests that that will probably be the one after, okay? There were a lot of that. So if you voted for that, don't think you're going to get hosed. I'll get to that at some point in time, all right? All right. Now, I've been in a salty mood all week, and I've been hard on the administration in general when I see things aren't moving quickly, because I believe we have to move quickly for 4 years in order to save the country. You know that. That's why I do it. It's important you understand that that is why I do it. I do not believe that you get more things out of your government by cheering them on all the time. In fact, I think that's oftentimes the worst possible way you can deal with your elected representatives. When you become their fan, when you become their cheerleader, they don't wake up and feel pressured to do more things for you, because instead of being somebody who pushes them, when you become a fan of them, they tend to rest on their laurels. This is human nature, right? It's human nature. If I as a dude, if I hang out with my buddy tonight, Luis, and if Luis looks at me and he says, "Dude, you been in the gym? Doesn't look like it. You look kind of fat, skinny, worthless." I'll be honest, that would cut me. And I'd probably work out the next day and probably work out really, really hard. Probably so hard I would hurt myself. It would hurt, right? That's how you get improvement out of people. That's why I push and push and push. And you should know that I always will. That's why I scream at the low T GOP in the House and the Senate. I talk about primaries. I'll talk about Trump. I'll talk about Bondi. I'll talk Cash Patel. You name it. And I always will. I want more, harder, faster, aggressive anti-communism. But I do have to hand out some credit sometimes too, because there's a lot of credit that is due. I was very hard on Pam Bondi yesterday, and I will continue to be until government people get arrested. But she gave a press conference today, and there is value to things like this.
Today, the Department of Justice is announcing a civil lawsuit against the Maine Department of Education. The state of Maine is discriminating against women by failing to protect women in women's sports. Pretty basic stuff. This is a violation of Title IX. The Department of Justice will not sit by when women are discriminated against in sports. This is about sports. This is also about these young women's personal safety.
Okay. That's good. If Maine is going to defy things and allow women to be beaten up, then it's good that the Attorney General is doing something about it. Again, do I want her to do more? Yep. That's a good thing. That's better than your 19th appearance on Fox News to brag about the Maryland guy you deported. Well, the one they keep calling Maryland man, the illegal they deported. But credit where it's due. Good job. I appreciate it. Another thing. This is from American Military News. Pentagon cuts $5.1 billion in wasteful spending in a new wave of DOGE cuts. That's Pete Hegseth. Now, you can look at that number and say, well, that's a good start, but that's not near enough. And you'd be correct. Not near enough. But it's a start. That's $5.1 billion. Credit where it's due. That's $5.1 billion of your money. We lose sight of that. I know we know it. I'm not insulting your intelligence. You know it. I know it. But when we read these numbers, a million here, a billion there, a trillion here, we do tend to lose sight sometimes of the fact that that's all money they stole from us and stole from our kids and their kids and their kids after them. That's our money. If somebody came to you and said, I just saved you $5.1 billion of money that was going to be wasteful, you'd be appreciative, right? Let's be appreciative. Good. Someone cut something. Okay. Another one. This is from CNBC. 20,000 IRS employees interested in deferred resignation offer as tax deadline looms. Okay. 20,000 IRS employees potentially are leaving. Yeah, you can say that's not enough. We need to get rid of the entire IRS. I would agree. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. But it's a good start. They're trying to get rid of some of these leeches, and that's a good start. Headline, Trump unleashes new strategy to deport 1 million illegal immigrants in 2025. I brought this up last night. Is that enough? Of course not. The communists brought in 20 million in just 4 years. That doesn't count the 30 million who were probably here before that. It's not enough. It's a dang good start. It's ambitious. We are currently, here's the reality of it. We are currently deporting people faster than we have in decades in this country. Decades. No, it's not enough. No, these numbers don't add up to 25 million. But what if they get to a million this year? And then next year, that turns into 3 million. And then next year, it turns into 5 million. Okay, well, we're getting somewhere, right? I just felt the need to hand out some sugar cubes because I've been handing out plenty of whips this week. And I just felt, I felt obligated to give credit where it's due. They are doing a lot of really great things in the Trump administration, and they do deserve credit for it. They really genuinely do. There is so much corruption and so many evil systems that have been put into place. Evil knots. I'm going to describe them as knots. Evil knots that take a long time to untie because they've been cinched in over the years. It takes time. All right. Now, let's make fun of Democrats for the idols they choose, because, man, they've got a weird one right now. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.